This is an I Am Listening original podcast.
The Conservatives have governed Kent forever. And I know it's tough. Aging population, social care bills. I get all of that. Not as much money from the central government. It's the Osborne days. And I get all of that. But frankly, to have got into a situation where KCC's in debt by £740 million actually smacks of incompetence.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast, your go-to source for insightful discussions on local and national political matters. Join us as we take a deep dive into local government across the county. Find out what the key decision makers have to say, what your money is being spent on, and how the party's policies could affect how we live. Engage with us as we delve into the issues that matter to you and explore the dynamic world of politics from a Kent perspective.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast. In the week, Reform UK leader Nigel Farage breezed into Kent to launch the County Council election campaign. Medway Council is buying blocks of flats to help the homeless, and there's been a bit of a climb down over the park and ride in Canterbury. I'm Simon Finley, local democracy reporter covering Kent County Council, and I'm joined by Robert Boddy, who reports on Medway.
Hello.
And Danison, who reports on the borough and district councils. And we'll be chatting about the campaign to highlight the issues faced by blue badge holders or those struggling to get a blue badge. First up, Robert, what's been going on in Medway this week?
Veteran listeners will remember one of the earliest stories I talked about being Medway Council's plans to spend £42 million on buying properties to use as temporary accommodation rather than using private rentals, which are increasing in price because of rising rents and increasing demand. Well, just over a year later, and the authorities' cabinet are looking at purchasing two blocks of flats totalling 130 units.
And how many properties are they looking to buy for their 42 million quid?
So they originally were looking to buy 150 properties, but they've already obtained 28, 11 single properties, a block of three flats, and a block of 14 flats. They're also going through the legal process of a further 39 acquisitions. So before we even get to this 130 across two blocks, they're already looking at having 67 properties.
Okay. How much are they going to cost and whereabouts are they?
Well, so that's the thing. These are negotiations are ongoing at the moment, so we don't actually have the specifics of how much they're going to pay for these two blocks of flats, which are on two separate sites. We also don't actually know where they are. But we have been told that this will all fit within the already approved £42 million, which was agreed by Medway Council last year.
Dan, what have you been looking at?
I've been following the latest rumblings at Canterbury City Council's transport policy, where they've been forced into a slightly embarrassing climb down on the park and ride service.
Why is that? Are they looking to save some money?
Pretty much, yeah. So last year, the Labour-Lib Dem coalition reopened the previously shut Sturry Road park and ride, which was closed by the Tories back in 2022 because it wasn't making enough money, which was essentially due to its low usage. They reinstated it, but a report to the overview committee last week showed that usage across the whole service is struggling to recover to pre-pandemic levels, and that the site on Sturry Road is by far the least popular, with only about a third of the usage of the other two sites on New Dover Road and Wincheap. And as such, council officers came up with a load of ways to save money on the whole park and ride service.
So what are they going to do?
So in a bid to save about 127 grand, they proposed cutting the number of buses serving Sturry Road from three down to two, replacing the buses at Sturry Road with hopper buses, which are basically just really small single-deckers, and scrapping all of the double-decker buses across the whole park and ride service. The committee didn't make any recommendation on cutting the number of services, but they did back all the downsizings, and the Cabinet is expected to make the final call later this month. But given that we reported back in September that the park and ride service was costing about 30 grand a month, the council will either need the service to get a lot more popular or accept that it's not going to make them a profit anytime soon.
Okay.
So, Simon, what have you been working on this week?
The election campaign for Kent County Council is well and truly underway and was marked by the visit to Kent by the Reform UK leader, Nigel Farage, which passed off without much incident, no milkshakes or any of that sort of stuff. And then he arrived around 11 a.m, went on a walkabout, stopping at several pre-arranged businesses along the way.
And what was the mood?
Well, my colleagues in the press all tried to find some real local people, and most of us found it hard to meet anyone who weren't massive Reform UK voters. But the day concluded with a sort of like a mass rally on Monday night at the Detling Showgrounds, where Mr Farage was treated like a rock star on stage. He was full of razzmatazz, and he got the 900 people all worked up in the end. But we've got a sit-down interview with Nigel Farage before the event, and you'll hear that in a few minutes. But I've also, this week, I've also written what we call an explainer as a guide to voters on how to get your vote. Turnout at this election is going to be key. The county council election usually only sees about 30 to 35% of the electorate go out, which is about half what you'd expect at a general election. So all the parties are going to have to do their best to get the core vote out this time round. But there is still time to register to vote. providing you're eligible. You can apply for a postal vote, or you can also get a proxy vote. That is getting something to put for you. And there's also information about where to get all this stuff, and the links are there. So I've read the piece up to help people get to the polling stations, and that's up online already. So do check that one out. Okay, Nikki, what's been happening in your world? What's keeping our MPs busy?
So it's rare you get politicians from all sides agreeing on one particular subject, but sometimes common sense does prevail. Now, Kent Online launched a campaign last week called the Blue Badge Battle, and we're calling for a change in government policy around who gets a blue badge, which gives those with disabilities special parking provisions. We decided to do it after many readers with cancers and other life-altering conditions got in touch, and they shared their stories about how they feel they've been unfairly treated by the way the system works at the moment, as well as highlighting their stories. We've also joined forces with three of the county's MPs to call on the government to seriously look at how people are given the parking permits.
So what's the problem?
So blue badges are issued in Kent by KCC and Medway Council, and they do that in line with guidance from the Department for Transport, which quite rightly has strict criteria focusing on mobility. There obviously has to be rules and regulations to stop the system being abused, but there are some people who are having their applications turned down when, to the likes of you and me, they're actually in genuine need of help. So for instance, one of the first people we've spoken to is Sandy Burr, who lives in Larkfield. She was diagnosed with cancer, had a toe amputated, and was found to have blood clots on her lungs, and that meant she struggled to walk very far, but she was denied a blue badge. We've also spoken to Martin White. He's a 79-year-old pensioner who has leukemia, a tumour and heart problems. He too had his application refused despite needing a stairlift and mobility scooter, and it was only after the Freemasons charity stepped in and helped him appeal the application that the decision was overturned. Now, there's two ways blue badges are issued. The first is automatically, where someone's disability or the benefits they're getting is on an approved list, so that's simple. The second is where someone needs further assessment, and to qualify that way, an expert needs to deem that the person has an enduring and substantial disability which causes walking difficulties or considerable psychological distress. Now, the sticking point with that is that the disability has to be one that's going to last for at least 3 years, and that's pretty difficult to judge. So what we're left with is a group of people who are struggling with illness and need help short term while they hopefully recover, but they're told, sorry, because we don't know if you're going to be ill for the next 3 years, you're just going to have to get on with it. It may not sound like a big thing, but when you're putting every ounce of your energy into fighting a life-threatening condition, having a blue badge to make that walk from the car to a hospital appointment that bit easier, or even to just go out and treat yourself to a coffee or getting your hair done, it does make a massive difference.
So which of our MPs are on board?
Well, so far Maidstone and Morling MP Helen Grant, who's had her own personal battle with cancer, has sent a letter to the Transport Secretary and Minister for Disability and Social Security, and that's to highlight our campaign. The Tory believes the eligibility criteria should be broadened to include those patients who are struggling with mobility, and says issuing the badges for a shorter period and reviewing them more frequently would help the system stop the system being abused. Now, she says during her own 24-month battle with cancer, she had a mastectomy and abdominal surgery and found it quite difficult to move around and walk. And for those patients who have radiotherapy and chemotherapy, it can just be completely draining. Also on board is Chatham and Aylesford Labour MP Tristan Osborne and Tunbridge Wells MP Mike Martin, who's a Lib Dem. Now, Mr. Osborne says the current blue badge system schemes in Kent and Medway need to be more flexible. And while councils can implement discretion in cases where it's appropriate, that discretion needs to be consistent across the country. And he's going to work with colleagues in Parliament towards that. Mr. Martin said the fact that people cannot apply for a temporary blue badge is completely undignified and the legislation must be improved. Now, since we've published our initial stories, we've had two more MPs sign up. That's the Ashford MP Sojan Joseph and Gravesham MP Dr. Lauren Sullivan. So the campaign is really gathering momentum.
Yeah, so we're certainly getting a lot of cross-party support.
Is there a topic that you would like to be discussed on the Kent Politics Podcast? Perhaps you've got a question for one of our panel, or you'd like to comment on a hot topic in local or national government. Get in touch by emailing or sending a voice note to kentpoliticspodcast@thekmgroup.co.uk.
Nigel Farage is one of the country's best-known politicians and certainly one of its most controversial. He's been a leader of UKIP, the Brexit Party, and Reform UK. I got the chance to have a one-to-one with him during his visit to Kent this week.
Nigel Farage, thank you very much, Dave, for taking the time to speak to us today. We've got the Kent County Council elections coming up in a very month away. Can he win or take control of Kent County Council, do you think?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. What I do know is that Reform support is strong in the county.
What I do know is it's grown significantly since the last general election. What I do know is
there's a feeling that compared with 2021, the Conservative vote is going to fall off a cliff. And that's partly because of national issues. The fact that it's a county election, you can't pretend national issues don't shape people's mood and attitude. But I also think this, the Conservatives have governed Kent forever. And I know it's tough, aging population, social care bills, I get all of that. Not as much money from the central government, it's the Osborne days, and I get all of that. But frankly, to have got into a situation where KCC's in debt by £740 million actually smacks of incompetence. So I think there is going to be a big desire to vote differently. And I think the Greens will get more votes, and the Lib Dems will get more votes. We'll get many, many more votes. Now, how that translates into seats under first past the post is impossible to read. But I tell you what, we're in the running.
Just bringing you back to the debt, it is a large amount of money, but it was largely racked up during a time when the county councils 20 years ago were actually being encouraged to borrow money to do various differently. So
the fact that I encourage you to do something stupid doesn't mean you have to.
Okay.
And also I point out, you know, they lost all those tens of millions with the Icelandic banks, which was folly. They've made many other decisions since then in terms of investment that have turned out to be wrong. And I think there's an argument that county council shouldn't speculate with other people's money.
If Reform do as well as you hope that they will, and they say take control or become the largest party, minority party, but will be effectively running it, and you say that the Tories have done such a bad job, I mean, how would you do it differently?
Well, fresh people, fresh attitudes, fresh thinking, not stuck to the status quo. It's almost like Kent needs his own form of doge. Yeah. I mean, we need to start looking at when in government, any level is a continuum. It gets into a sort of certain habit, a certain way of doing things. We believe it needs a massive shake-up. We believe that it needs fixing. We also believe that we've got the brains of business people, of entrepreneurs in this county that can come in and help us do it.
Do you think that KCC is a wash with money and overstaffed?
I don't think it's a wash with money, and I wouldn't pretend that, even though, you know, council taxes go up with a requisite 5% every year. But I do think, from what I can see of it, they waste money on things they shouldn't even be getting involved.
Such as?
Oh, their climate change initiative. You know, the 2019 announcement by KCC about the climate emergency. I mean, they're spending nearly £250,000 a year on that. I don't think that's for them to do.
One of the big Kent local issues, leave aside the small books, that's the one that, you know, and there is the issue of having unaccompanied asylum-seeking children, which Kent has to look after by law when they come in. But the National Transgression Scheme seems to have been sorted out. So those kids are being dispersed more fairly into other parts of the country. But leaving aside the small boats, what are the big issues that people are talking to you about in the county?
Population increase. I'm not sure any county has felt population increase quite what Kent has. Just look at the massive housing developments. Just look at the desperate lack of ability to get a GP appointment. And dare I even mention Kent's traffic, which has become horrendous.
Yeah.
Literally horrendous. And so this is where national governmental policy impacts on people's local lives. Mm. Now, I can't blame KCC for the population explosion. Yeah. That isn't their fault.
Yeah.
But it's very much their party's fault after 14 years of government, which is why in these elections on May the 1st, rightly or wrongly, local and national issues are intertwined.
Yeah, because the theme of your campaign, especially at Kent, is Kent's council is broken.
Yeah,
Reform will fix it. I mean, but you know, people are going to say, okay, well, that's fine. It's a good slogan, but how are you going to do that?
Well, we can't do worse in terms of the finances than has been done. As I say, fresh mentality, fresh thinking, cutting expenditure back to the bone, apart from where it's really needed. And let's look at other ideas, other initiatives. And one of the things we floated is, what about charging a toll for every foreign lorry that comes in a Dover every day? Now, look, you know, I know we need national government approval to do it, but the fact we're even talking about these things shows you there is some fresh thinking here.
Do you believe in the Labour government's devolution revolution?
Why? No, I don't. Nobody has given me an argument why a county like Kent, which has a very strong identity. Many counties around the country do not have an identity as strong as Kent has, and it's always had. No one's yet convinced me how breaking the county up into three or four, or whatever it may be, local individual authorities and abolishing the district councils somehow will give us a better form of government. No one's made the argument to me, but as yet has convinced me.
But do you think the status quo works?
No, but that's about who's running it.
Mm.
But I do believe in a county identity. And my worry is that you break it down into all these different devolved administrations. I mean, if you think about it, if you abolish all of the district and borough councils in Kent, you're actually pushing decision-making up on many of the issues that affect people's lives, not bringing it down. I'm wholly unconvinced.
The former UKIP leader, Henry Boltwell, went on to the Kent Politics podcast recently, and he was it terribly complimentary about Reform UK, and he said they've got no plan, always good for sexy headlines, but they've got no real kind of, you know, no plan for the future. So should you...
How would he know? He's not involved with us, and they've never been a member, so...
On a personal level, you know, your critics sort of accuse you of being a bit of an opportunist, that there's the whole thing. It's just an annual show. I mean, told you it was false.
Opportunist. I gave up my life for 25 years. I gave up millions of pounds of income to go and become an MEP, to give up a career running a business in the city, to campaign with sovereignty of the country. I don't think opportunist is quite the right word. I would accept that I've come back into politics with a gap in the political market, yeah? I would fully accept that, but that's because the others have made such a mess of it.
Yeah. What do you think Reform would be if it weren't for you?
I'm the founder of it. I invented the name. I formed it. I gave it to Richard Tice to look after. I walked away for 3.5 years. I came back. Am I a strong dominant figure in the party? Yes. Am I the person who people in the street know who I am, know what my name is, and have some idea of what I stand for? Yes. But don't underestimate the extent to which I want to broaden and deepen the base of the party and the appeal of the party. I know this for certain. If this was, say, France or America, where it's a presidential-style election, then it'd be fine just being me. But it's not. Come the next general election, one of the reasons that people will or will not vote for Reform is, do they see a spread of people capable and competent enough to go and run a government? So I fully understand that.
You recently sort of said that you would like to be prime minister, and I think you put a percentage on the chances of you becoming. In what circumstances would that happen, do you think? Does that mean a deal with someone? Conservatives?
Not necessarily, no. I mean, I think we could be at one of those once every 50, 100-year moments when politics fundamentally changes. It hasn't really happened here since 1918, when the Liberal government, who'd been in since 1906, began to be obliterated and Labour replaced them. I think we could be at one of those moments.
Some calling in Kent amongst the Conservative Party, which is a fairly big sample, said that some of the feedback that they're getting, this is what they're telling me.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but this is what I've been told, is that, you know, your closeness with Donald Trump may affect your popularity, particularly in the wake of the disastrous meeting that they had with Zelensky in the Oval Office. Do you think that's beginning to play out here?
Look, I mean, our interests with America are similar, but not symmetrical. I think that's the point. And yeah. Donald Trump did not endear himself to the British public with Zelensky that day. But do you know what? At least we're talking about peace. That must be a step forward.
Nigel Farage, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Cheers.
So earlier, Nikki was talking about the launch of Kent Online's Blue Badge Battle campaign, calling for the government to change the guidelines for who qualifies for a blue badge and who doesn't. So what do you think about it? Nikki, this has got sort of personal resonance for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. I mean, I think it's a subject that definitely you need to look at. I mean, that those who genuinely need one, the system does get abused. But I think most people who need it, really need it, and they need it quickly. I mean, you don't really think about a blue badge until you or a loved one needs one. And then when you do need one, you need it fairly quickly. I've had two relatives who were in such poor health, they needed blue badges. Now, fortunately or unfortunately, whichever way you look at it, they got them fairly quickly. They were on that automatic approval list, everything was issued and everything worked out fine. That wasn't a problem at all. But it just must be so absolutely frustrating if you're turned down and you're in a situation where you're battling with your health. All you want to do is focus on putting your energy into making yourself better or being the best that you physically can. And that blue badge would really make a huge difference. And if somebody said no, it's another worry that you could actually really do without. Now, I spoke to Sandy Burr, who we mentioned earlier in the podcast, and she said, you know, it's hard because some days she has good days and some days she doesn't. But she also has no idea with her condition as to how her health is going to fluctuate or deteriorate. And on the days when she needs that blue badge, it's really important and would make a massive difference at a time when she really wants to be focusing all her energy on getting better. Now, of course, the other side to that is that it does need to be enforced properly. There are people who don't understand why people have blue badges and why they need to park closer to things. It's something I feel quite passionately about, and I've had to stand up rows in a car park with a woman who parked in a blue badge space, didn't have a blue badge. All she wanted to do was to nip into the supermarket really quickly. Oh, I'm just popping in. Well, yeah, you may just be popping in, but you've made that space not available for somebody who is actually really struggling to walk. Mm-hmm. And that would make a massive difference to their life. And I think there needs to be better awareness and better enforcement, but how you do that?
Well, I mean, I see the figures actually, Kent County Council, I think it's about once a year or once a quarter, I can't remember what, but there are quite a few. I mean, the relatively small number of people who misuse blue badges and or they bend the rules or they just blatantly sort of use somebody else's for their own purposes, and they do get caught, albeit a small number. I don't know what the percentage is of the number of people who actually have them in camp.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. Thankfully, the number is small, but I think some of us perhaps need to be a bit braver in standing up to those people who do just pop into that space.
It's hard to enforce, though, if you...
It is hard to enforce, but I think if it's enforcement by the general public as well, that would help. It's about changing attitudes, and I think generally most people's attitude is the right one, but we do need to stand up to those people who just don't really give a toss and park in the space anyway. But I think the whole issue about the Kent Online campaign, soak up and make sure that those people who are falling between the cracks at the moment, who, you know, okay, I'm ill at the moment, I may not be in 6 months' time. Well, that's great. We don't want you to be ill in 6 months' time, but what a difference you could make with just one small thing.
They always say that in Parliament, if you want to get your campaign or your issue sort of a wider audience, the more cross-party support you've got, the better. I mean, I think all the three parties are represented there, aren't
they? Yeah, yeah, they are. You know, and that's great to see.
Jan and Lauren from the Labour Party. But obviously, you know, the first on board was Helen Grant. And she's had cancer and she knows what those sort of difficulties can be.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. It's good.
Okay, folks, that's your lot for this week. Thanks to Rob, Nikki and Dan for their contributions. And don't forget, you can keep an eye on Kent Online/politics for the latest news from around the county. You can also sign up to our politics briefing newsletter by visiting kentonline.co.uk/newsletters. And don't miss KMTV's politics show every Friday evening at 5 p.m. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Kent Politics Podcast. Don't forget to check out stories throughout the week on the politics page of Kent Online. And you can watch the Kent Politics Show on KMTV every Friday at 5 p.m. or on demand at kmtv.co.uk.
This has been an I Am Listening original podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.